Glory. What an awesome God. Good to see you this morning. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Kids, have a good church. Good kids' church.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Well, it's been an exciting time. Some would say a hard time. But it's an exciting time to live in because we are witnessing the Word of God being fulfilled. We're witnessing the reality of who God is. And all the things we've talked about, preached about, prayed about for years, here we are. Amen. We used to be able to fill auditoriums with somebody announcing there's going to be teaching on the book of Revelations and Daniel. And they would do their best to try to figure it out. And today we're watching it happen. Amen. We're the generation that gets to say, oh, that's how that was going to work. Well, that's how that's going to work. Hallelujah. We are finding things that our forefathers tried to figure out, and we're getting to live it. You know, I was in India one year, and as I was praying, I began to hear this statement. This statement just kept coming up in my spirit, and I didn't understand it, didn't know what it was about. And this is a statement, India, my jewel. India, my jewel. And that just kept coming up inside of me, and I thought, well, what's that about? So in the big crusade service that night, I told the people, I said, I've been hearing something, God's saying something that I don't understand. And I began to declare that, India, my jewel. And the place, I mean, people just went crazy. It's just this roar come up, and everybody was just so excited. And I didn't know why. You know, I thought, wow, you know, that excited them. I don't know what excited them. But after the service, after that night, we were on the way back to the hotel, and one of my interpreters said, do you know why the people got so excited when you said that? I said, no, I have no idea. He said, in India, a man shows his wealth by the jewels he puts on his wife. That's why women in India have so much jewelry on, because that's a symbol of the wealth of the family, as some of you ladies are elbowing your husbands. Anniversary's coming up. And he said, when you said, India, my jewel, what you were saying was, God was saying, I adorn you with my wealth. I didn't understand that. They did. Isn't it amazing how God understands our culture? He understands how we think. He understands. And he just wanted to impart that to the people, to let them know that he knew where they was at, and that he knew them, and he wanted to adorn them with his presence. He wanted to show his wealth in them. Hallelujah. Oh, what an amazing, amazing God we serve today. He knows you. He knows where you're at. He knows what's going on in your life. And he knows how to help you walk through that. Amen. He knows how to help you walk through that. Thank you, Father. I keep getting this feeling that there's somebody here today that needs something to happen this week. I don't know what, I'm not sure what it is, but you need something to happen this week. And you've been praying and asking God to somehow make this happen because it needs to happen this week. I'm not talking about just somebody that's impatient saying, well, this week it needs to happen. I'm talking about somebody that says, man, the deadline is here. It needs to happen. Okay? I'm just going to ask God right now to fill that need. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, you've heard the prayer. God, you've heard the cries, and you're speaking that now about this situation. Angels, we dispatch you to begin to coordinate and bring this into fruition. Father, I ask you to open the doors and make this happen, Father God. Lord, I thank you for the answer to this cry, the answer to this prayer this week. Before next Sunday, Lord, I thank you for this taking place. I thank you for the answer coming in Jesus' name. And Lord, we say that the devil will not hold back our blessings, will not steal our blessings, will not take our blessings. And Father, I thank you for the authority of the name of Jesus right now. Lord, we rebuke the hand of the thief. We curse you in Jesus' name. Get your hand off of this situation. And God, we thank you for deliverance. We thank you for the need being met. And Father, I thank you, God, for the answer. We receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Can you do one more thing with me today? Stand back up if you would. Hallelujah. Praise God. Those pews ain't that comfortable anyway. You can stand back up. Hallelujah. We are needing to build another church in Rwanda up on the border of Tanzania. And the church has grown huge, and they're in this little tiny building that's smaller than that nursery right there. And they are just, and they've overflown it, floated it. We tried to preach there when we was over in Rwanda. And I mean, I was over in the corner like this, and there was people packed everywhere. And so we've got part of the finances that we need, but we're going to build that church. Amen. Hold your hands out just like this. Now say this with me. Father God, fill my hands with provision. And I will transfer it to the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, build this church. We thank you for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God will. Don't be surprised if God just surprises you with some money to give toward that this week. You can be seated. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. There are so many things that we're looking at and believing God for. We are in the process of drilling a well in Pakistan right now in a village where they don't have clean water. Have to go a long ways to get water. And so we sent the money this week, and they're gonna be drilling. And when we get that done, I'll show you some pictures. But we're gonna make it possible for people to have clean water in their village. Hallelujah! Isn't that amazing? Glory! Hallelujah! God is amazing. I'm a big dreamer, and God has done big things. Amen. Hallelujah. We've never had a large backing. We've never asked for money. We've never sent out, raised funds. I'm not good at doing any of that stuff. And yet God has done some amazing things to this little church and all over the world and provided. And many times he brings it from outside. Amen. And that prayer that we just prayed, we stand up and pray that prayer. We've seen answer after answer after answer. Amen. We did that one time when we was building, trying to finish the headquarters church in Kigali. And we stood up and I said, listen, this church has given and given and given. God has blessed you tremendously. But we're going to ask God to bring it from an outside source this time. And we stood up and we prayed that prayer and said, God, thank you, Father God, for bringing it in from an outside source. And there was a company that I didn't have any contact with, sent us a $10,000 check. Just got it. Said missions on the bottom. I said, oh, praise God. You know, that's amazing. 2 weeks later, we got another check from that same company for $50,000. And we were able to finish what we needed to do over Rwanda. Amen. Isn't that amazing? And I haven't had any contact with him since. You know, God knows how to speak. Amen. I don't know why I'm on that today, but God knows how to speak. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you notice, we don't pass a bucket here, take up offerings, but there are, and we believe in giving. There are little white thing. There's a white thing back there in the auditorium. You can give online. You can give by PayPal. All that kind of. That's how we give. And you guys are amazing. You give tremendously, and thank God for that. Amen. I don't have to stand there with a bucket trying to make you give. You do it because you know what it is. You know what's right, and you know what God has asked of us. And I just give you. I just thank you for that. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I'm not even going to go into the rest of it. I've got all kinds of stuff up here in my mind. Big, big stuff. God's doing big stuff. And he's a big God. He said, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above anything that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Amen. According to what? Wow. That means God's put something inside of you he wants to produce his kingdom through. Amen. I spent most of my prayer time yesterday in the morning and then again yesterday evening. I was praying in this auditorium, and all day long I was repenting to God for trying to produce him. We're trying to produce what he does. Some of you might not understand that, but many times we're trying to figure out how to get it to happen. How to get things to happen, how to get God to do things, and what do I have to do to get healings to have one, and it just the revelation. The reason I started repenting because this revelation come to me so powerfully and so strong, and it started with Brother Rob's message here a while back. He is. Then why are we trying to make him be he is if he already is? Amen. Hallelujah. The great I am. The great I am. God told Moses in the wilderness. Moses said, what's your name? He said, I am that I am. Jesus, we're going to read it here just a little bit. He said, after Abraham, I am. I am. And because he is the great I am, and now through the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus and the Holy Spirit coming back to this earth, he is. Amen. He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. He is the healer. He is the baptizer. And because he is, now I am. Because now he's invested in me who he is. And now I can become the I am. Because I am healed, I am saved, I am delivered, I am full of the Spirit of God. I am a child of God. He is and I am. Hallelujah. What an amazing gift that we've been given. And I just told him all day yesterday, I said, God, forgive us for trying to produce who you are in the church. Somehow get to make you produce. I said, God, help us just to yield to the Holy Spirit and let you be. Just let you be. Amen. Did you know that he wants to save more than we want to see people saved? Amen. He wants to deliver more than we want to go through, more than we want to be a part of it. I mean, God's a delivering God. Amen. God's a delivering God. He wants it. Amen. Praise God. I was in the Philippines one time, and I just said, come out of them in Jesus' name with authority. I didn't know who to pray for. There were so many people being delivered. Really don't have to pray for anything because his name is the authority. His name is the power. Hallelujah. And he will be who he is if we can just get out of the way and stop trying to imitate him and start letting him just be. This isn't even my message. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of John chapter 8. I want to talk about the character of God. We've been talking about the devil wants to change the image of God. We've talked about that, how through homosexuality and through perversion and all the junk that's going on today, the devil's wanting to change the image of God. Amen. Because God made us in his image. He created us, male and female. He created them and made us his image. Amen. And that's a full image. And anything else is a perversion of the image of God. Okay? We've been talking about the image of God, but the character of God. If the devil can somehow get you to change your idea of what God is like, he can keep you from receiving what God has. He can keep you from walking with him. We are in a battle today against the enemy trying to distort how we view God. Amen. If you've ever dealt with a highly manipulative, abusive narcissist, then you know that they will try to get you to submit to them, and it's always your fault. Everything's always your fault. They're always berating, always accusing, and they never take responsibility. When they do something, they try to make it your fault for them doing it. Amen? Hallelujah. And then if you won't submit to them, they start trying to influence your circle and change their opinion against you. They'll start working on your friends or your family, and they'll try to get them to see you differently and to try to get you to submit to them. And when you won't submit to them, they punish you. That is demonic. That's how the devil does. And the devil wants to change. He wants to try to influence how you see God, because he is the ultimate highly manipulative, abusive narcissist. I mean, that's his title. One of his greatest powers against us, and yet one of his greatest weaknesses, because he always shows his hand, because he's so arrogant. He can't wait to pat himself on the back. Amen. So he always plays his hand too quick. Praise God. Man, it got tight in here when I started talking about that. Yeah. Either some of y'all know somebody like that or you are one. One or the other. It got tight when I started talking about that. Amen. Come on, somebody. If you can't apologize when you're wrong, you're of your father, the devil. If you can't admit when you do something wrong, if you have to blame everybody else, if you have to try to justify yourself constantly, that is not God. Man. Woo. Hallelujah. Praise God. I wish I could cast that out of people. Most time, Pharisaical spirits won't leave because they're soulish. Oh, anyway. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. I'm so soft and I have a hard time saying what I think. Amen. Y'all don't think I do, but I do. I really hold back. John chapter 8, verse 30. We're going to be reading several scriptures here if I can ever get to this. Today's one of those days where I'm just being pulled a lot, okay? John chapter 8, starting with verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Everybody say, "I am."
I am.
See, if you abide in his word, you are. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" I don't know how they could say they've never been in bondage to anyone. Rome was in charge of them at that moment. I mean, you know, goodness, such deception. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever." Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody. We need to break that old slave thing off. You got to stop getting in and out of the kingdom of God. You got to stop. I'm just wanting to, so much going on this morning. People that run in and out of the body of Christ all the time are slaves. They've never found their sonship. They've never found that abiding place in God where they realize, "I am a son in the house. I am not a visitor. I am not a guest. I am a son in the house. I have a permanent seat at the table." Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. We're going to be here a while if I stop and preach on every one of these verses. "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Hallelujah. "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." Come on, Jesus wasn't no patty cake preacher. They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God was your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." Wow. "You are of your father, the devil." He finally just come out and said it. He kept saying, "You're doing the works of your father. You're like your father." And he finally come out and said, "You are of your father, the devil." Amen. Praise God. He wasn't preaching for a return visit. "And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, but there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Amen. Jesus was declaring character. Then the Jews answered and said to him, Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? The devil always accuses you of what he is. Haven't I heard that on the news? You can tell that most politics in America is of the devil because they're constantly blaming everybody else for what they're doing. Amen. Need some deliverance. Jesus said, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. I just got to add you something. Who was it that was always casting out demons? And who was it that always had the demons? Jesus would go in the synagogue and demons would start rising up and yelling. And now they're saying, we know you have a demon. Well, the devil doesn't cast out the devil. Amen. Jesus said that. Jesus said, if anyone keeps my word, they shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do not know him, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Well, he said, oh, guys, you don't understand. I was there when Abraham set out for Canaan. I was there when the bush was burning. And Moses said, who are you? And I said, I am that I am has sent you. I was there. See, this is eternity trying to talk to temporal mindsets. We have such a temporary mindset. He is eternal. At 4:30 this morning, I got up and I was sitting there and I was thinking, man, we waste a lot of time on temporary stuff. Amen. I know y'all get up 4:30 in the morning and think stuff like that. I just got up and I thought, what am I doing? We spend so much time on the temporary, and yet we are eternal beings. This body might go to the dust, but we are eternal beings. Amen. We try to pack everything into a mindset of temporary existence. And nothing makes sense with God when you try to pack him into a temporary existence. Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, I got to tell you something. Jesus didn't put his cloak up and do like this. They just couldn't see him all of a sudden. He hid himself and just walked through, shaking his head. You know? Jesus knew until his time has come, nothing could do it. Nothing could take him out. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Until his time has come. See, we just read several verses talking about the difference between the character and nature of God and the character and nature of the devil. The character and nature of God is to love and to care. The character and nature of the devil is to accuse and to blame. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." God so loved the world that he gave. Two of the strongest characteristics of God is in that one sentence, and it's God loved and God gave. If we in the church could just get our minds wrapped around that, that God loves and God gives. He's not trying to withhold things from you. He's not trying to withhold himself from you. He's not trying to punish you until you get it. Amen. We make God so human. We think he gets offended and just ain't going to talk to us no more. No. He's called a father. Amen. He's called a father. I grew up in this teaching that if you wasn't careful, you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit and he's going to leave. He'll just stomp out of here and just with his lip puckered out and he'll just leave you. And so we taught that God is an abandoning God. I want to tell you something. When you have been offended and stomped out, he's still there. Because he's a determined warrior. He never quits. He's not the one that gets offended. We are the one that gets offended. Sure, you can grieve the Holy Spirit, but that's when you rebel against him. Not just because you didn't sing a song right. I've been around this foolishness in church for so many years, it just makes me mad. People come up to me and say, "The Holy Spirit was grieved today." I say, "No, he wasn't, you were." I don't know how many people's walked out of this church and because they didn't get their way about something, that it's always the same. Ichabod's written over the door, the Spirit has departed. No, you departed. And thank God for it. Amen. Holy Spirit's still here. Amen. He's still with you. He doesn't stomp out. I mean, even in the Old Testament, when they would sin, he would do something to redeem them. He'd always let them, you know, offer a sacrifice or the priests run into the midst with, you know, and stand in the midst and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Or the snakes are biting them, make a snake on a pole so they could look at it. You know, God always tried to give them a way out when they would rebel. And today we live in the day of not a visitation from God. We live in the abiding presence of God. He does not, if I know that I've done something wrong, if I know that I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit, I always apologize to him. But it's not because I'm afraid he's going to throw me away. It's because I love him. And I don't want to disobey him. I don't want to go against him. Amen. But he's the one that's still there convicting my heart, trying to get me to say, "Oh, I was wrong. I'm sorry." Hallelujah. Well, I might be going against some of y'all's controlling, manipulative doctrine. You know how the church has survived for several years? Fear and guilt. Fear and guilt. Oh, if you don't go to this church, you're going to go to hell. We're the only ones know what we're doing. We're the only ones doing it right. We're the only ones that have the Holy Spirit. We're the only one, this is the only church you can get saved in. If you leave this church, if you don't give, if you don't do this, if you don't do that. And we create an atmosphere of slavery when we are sons in the house, and we need to realize He is an abiding presence. He is an abiding presence. He's not here to try and make you guilt-ridden or full of fear. He's here to deliver you and bring you into His kingdom, bring you into His presence, where you can sit down at the table and actually get to know Him as your Father. It wasn't until I found out what kind of God He was as a Father that I finally started getting free from all that junk. I started preaching when I was 19 years old, and I was one of the angriest young men you could ever meet. You know why? Because I heard this stuff all my life. You got to measure up somehow. If you don't do it right, you're going to be held to a higher accountability. And you're... I worked for years trying to somehow get God's approval. Somehow do it right. Somehow preach it right. Somehow get people to act right. Because every time we'd try to get somewhere, then there'd be a big blow up. And then it was on me. It's always on me. So I'd have to go back to God. And I'd say, God, I'm so sorry. I couldn't do it. And this, it just fell apart and all this kind of stuff. And it was like you can never get there. It's the carrot out in front of you that you can never get to. It's that illusion. It's that perfectionism. Perfectionism is unattainable. Excellence is not. Excellence is attainable. Perfectionism is unattainable. You will never be perfect, but you can, with an excellent spirit, continue to strive after the presence of God. Hallelujah. The kind of gospel we preach has people running away from God when they mess up. That's not the God we serve. The kind of God we serve is a Father that when you fall down and mess up, you need to turn around and run to Him as fast as you can run to Him, because He's the one that'll heal you up. He's the one that'll forgive you. He's the one that'll clean the dirt off of you. We have created such an atmosphere that people run. I hear this all the time. Well, I ran from God for several years, and I'm thinking, why did you think you could run from an omniscient, omnipresent God? He's everywhere you run to. He knows everything about you. David said, if I make my bed in hell, He's there. If I ascend up, He's there. No matter where I go, He's there. His presence is ever with you. Don't run from God. Nothing God has should you run from. It's the greatest thing you could ever experience. People say, I run from the call of God. Why? What kind of mentality do we have that makes us want to run away from God? Sure, it gets hard, but He's the one that lifts my burdens. Cast all your care upon Him, and He'll care for you. I've had people literally tell me that I'm scared to death. I had people prophesy over me that I was going to be a preacher, and I'm afraid to get too close to God, afraid He's going to call me to preach. And I said, good Lord, have I made it look that bad? And And for several years, the answer is yes. I lived the burden, broke, and burnt out life for several years. Every day of my life, burdened and broke and beat down and wore out and burnt out. Why? Because always trying to somehow get up to where I measure up, where I somehow get the approval and acceptance of God. And one day I got the revelation that I got the acceptance and approval of God at the moment that I said yes to Jesus. I was in Christ. And as soon as I received Jesus, I became approved of. Because when he looked at me, he didn't see me. My life is hidden with God in Christ. He saw Jesus. I'm preaching this totally different than I planned on, but it's all right because I'm talking to somebody here today. I'll never forget the day the revelation came to me that I cannot do anything to get God to quit loving me. Because I lived in this performance-based thing. I had to preach just right. I had to sing just right. Every time we came to church, it was like the scoreboard was coming up. And I'd leave church. Most of the time on Sunday night, I would lay awake all night thinking, oh, man, oh, this didn't happen right. Oh, that, oh, you know. And all night, Saturday night, I would lay awake just trying to figure out how to do it right. How to get this thing right. Because I wanted God to love me. And if I didn't do it right, he wouldn't love me. He would throw me away. Because that's what we taught. That's what we had. That's the attitude that has been in the house of God, is that somehow if you don't measure up every moment of the day, he's going to throw you away. I got to tell you something. I would never do that to one of my children. I never did do that to one of my children. They had all kinds of problems, but I was always right there. I might not have been the happiest person in the world, but I was always right there. My youngest son, Austin, played the drums this morning. He got in trouble one time, and he was more afraid of me coming to the police station than he was the police. He was literally asking the police to protect him. Just because I love you don't mean I'm not going to beat you half to death. Amen. Come on, somebody. I love you. Poof. I love you. Poof. And I'm going to beat that nonsense out of you. Amen. Come on, somebody. You know, oh, y'all know where I'm at. Some of you felt the same way, but I didn't do that. Most time I didn't have to. All I had to do is look at them, and it was over with. They called it the look. That was bad enough. But I remember I was in this church right here. So I was born again in this building when I was 17 years old, right here. Used to be an altar right here, and I prayed through and accepted Jesus right here. Gave him my life, committed my life to the Lord. I got married here. I preached my first message here. Amen. I'm not the kind that runs away when things go wrong, when people don't like you. I've been fired once and voted out twice, and I'm still here. Amen. He said, how'd you do that? When they voted me out, I just stayed here and kept cleaning the bathrooms, mowing the lawn, doing the things that I needed to do. Why? Because God called me to serve. After a while, it just wore them down. I was like that old dog, you haul it off 5 miles down the road, next morning there it is on the porch. Take it to another state, 2 days later it shows up, there it is. See, you can try to vote your father out, but they're not going to leave. You're still a father. And I remember praying one day, and I was so distraught. I was so burdened and so burnt out, so distraught. I think I'm preaching about this because actually today is me and Betty's 29th anniversary of being pastors here. Amen. I just remembered that. Amen. 29 years. Wow. That's why I'm talking about this stuff. Next year will be 30 years. Amen. But I was so distraught and I was praying. I just didn't know how to do this. I didn't know how to get it right. I didn't know how to make it happen right. Just struggling. Many of you know what I'm talking about. You just feel frustrated in your relationship with God all the time. It's like, God, how do I do this? How do I get you to love me? How do I feel peace in my heart? How do I have joy in my heart? You always feel like you got to strive to somehow create something or do something better. And that's fine if it's something that is burning in your heart, but when you feel like you're being driven into it, it's not. You know, every relationship that does not have reciprocity is hard to maintain. And when you're in a relationship with God, you don't feel like there's any reciprocity. You don't feel like it's coming back this way, that you're serving him all the time, but it's not coming back. It's hard to maintain a relationship like that. But that's because you're a slave serving a God. You're not a son living with a father. I was walking around this church right here at this very spot. Holy Spirit said, "You think you're powerful, don't you?" And I thought, I never said that. He said, "You think you're powerful enough to change the character of God?" I said, I don't understand what you're saying. And this is what he spoke to me. He said, "You're not big enough, strong enough, or important enough to change who God is. And the Word of God says that God is love. Why do you think that you, by yourself, can stop God from loving?" Wow. I mean, that was a revelation. That was a revelation to me. And all of a sudden, I realized that I wasn't accepting God for who he is. I wasn't accepting him as a loving heavenly father. I saw him as a God that was judging my every word and my every move. And I somehow had to get it right or God was going to cut me out. That was such a powerful revelation that all of a sudden I began to see God differently. I stopped hearing the lies of the Pharisees. And I started hearing the truth of Jesus. I stopped hearing the thoughts of my own heart. And I started hearing his thoughts and the clarity of who he is. Began to change everything about what I did. I used to dread church services. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You didn't want to come this morning. Matter of fact, some of y'all were so irritated, you fought all the way here in the car. And it wasn't even each other you was mad at. You was just mad because you had to get them to come to church. I mean, you was dreading it. You know why? Because somehow this thing just doesn't work right. But I got to tell you something. When you get the revelation of who God really is, you're not going to be dreading anything. You're going to be ready. You're going to be fired up. You're going to be happy, full of peace. Why? Because you understand the reciprocity of this thing, that he gives me more than I can ever sacrifice for him. His nature is love and giving. No, I'm not even going to be able to get into the rest of this because I spent too much time digging and digging in your treasure chest. I tell people as they listen, preaching for me isn't one way, it's a conversation. You might not believe it, we're having a conversation. Amen. Hallelujah. When we understand the character and nature of God, sure, he's a judge. Sure, he has wrath, and you're seeing some of it being poured out on this land. God has withdrawn his blessing from some stuff, but not our lives. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I wonder if we're going to be able to let Holy Spirit be to the point that we can multiply food. I wonder if we can let him multiply gas in our gas tank. Amen. I've seen it happen. I know he's real. I know he can do it. Amen. This stuff's too good not to believe. I know that God is a God that can do amazing things. Me and Sister Betty have drove for miles without any gas in our car. And I know a lot of you ain't going to believe that, but you should have been in the car with us because we were believing God. Amen. Hallelujah. We drove all the way from Tulsa, Oklahoma to home with no gas in our car, and our car ran the whole way. Why? Because we said, God, we need to get home, and we thank you for it. I know a miracle-working God. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or think. I've seen him work miracles. I've seen him take us places that we shouldn't have been. I've seen him get things done that should never have happened. I know that God is a miracle-working God, and I don't have to do anything to try to get him to be a miracle-working God. I just need to accept who he is and let him be who he is. I'm about to get 20 years old again right here. Come on, somebody. I used to run and jump and kick my legs when I preached. Praise God. Now gravity has gotten so much stronger, I have a hard time doing that. It's in time. The gravity has increased. I know it's in the Bible somewhere the gravity's gotten stronger because it pulls harder at you. Amen. It takes more for me to get off the ground than it used to. See, we have a Father. We don't just have a God. We have a Father. And he loves. And he gives. And many of us have never experienced that. You know why? Because we've been slaves serving a God instead of son sitting with the Father. We're going to flip that thing. We are sons in the house. Amen. Every one of you sons in the house. Praise God. There's not a person here left out. You are sons in the house. You just got to accept who he is and what he's given. Hallelujah. I'm not even going to get into the rest of this, but that's all right. You've struggled with your walk with God for so long. And the reason you've struggled with your walk with God is because you've not been able to see him. The Pharisees have been tainting your mind the manipulative, narcissistic words of the devil has been changing your view of God. And you can't see him like he is. You see him through your experiences. You see him through the words that have been spoken. You see him through the failures of those in authority over you. And so you have a hard time getting to God and understanding who he is. You have a hard time receiving. Because the lying Pharisees have taught you that God don't really want you in his house. He just lets you in because he has to. That you serve God out of forced submission. Because if you don't, you're going to go to hell. Yes, I believe in hell. I believe you rebel against God, you go there. But that's not a good reason to live for God. Because you'll spend your whole life just trying not to go to hell. What a waste. When you spend your whole life chasing after and enjoying the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. There is a love that will heal your heart. There is a love that will restore you. Believe me, I've experienced it over and over and over. I've lived through more grief than I can even talk about, both in my life and the lives of others. 40-some years of living through hardships and heartaches and grief and tragedies. And yet today, instead of being hard-hearted and hard, I'm like a kid in a candy store. I'm more excited about Jesus today than I've ever been. I look forward. When Sunday was over last Sunday, I went home and I thought, man, six more days before we get back. Like, no. We have prayer meetings and we have all kinds of stuff through the week that we meet with people. But Sunday morning to me is just special because it's like a bunch of loving family get together and we just have an amazing time. Amen. I don't dread it. I anticipate it. I love it. I love ministry. I love preaching. I love everything about God. I love it. Because I finally got the revelation of who he was. Stand with me if you will. Sister Val's going to sing that song she's playing right now. The love of God. I thought that's what it was. I want you just to, in your own heart, where you're at right now, I want you to spend a couple of minutes evaluating your view of God. Has my view of God been tainted by this world? Am I a slave that's trying to serve a God, or am I a son living with a father? Which one is it? Hallelujah. Father, we humble ourselves in your presence right now. We humble ourselves in your presence right now, Father. Lord, we bless your name, praise you.